Hi, this is Ilka Cassidy with Passivhaus Accelerator, and thanks for tuning in to the special bonus episode of the Passivhaus podcast recorded at the International Passivhaus Conference 24 in Innsbruck, Austria. And a big thank you to Source 2050 for their support of the series. In this episode with Inchel, we discuss her efforts to teach Passivhaus to the very young, and why that is so important, not only for developing the future workforce, but also to give the youth hope and tools to address the climate crisis.
I am a practicing architect in New York City, specializing in Passivhaus. And I've been doing this for, Passivhaus for over 10 years, and I've been practicing for over 3 decades. And what I came to founding this nonprofit, Passivhaus to Everyone, educating youth, just from the supporting policies in our industry for energy efficiency through actively practicing Passivhaus architecture in New York City and truly understanding its benefits and trying to figure out, how can I spread this to as many people as possible and really support the work that our amazing industry is doing to really get this, to be what's going to help the world and, have a better life for everybody, right, through Passivhaus, because we know that energy efficiency is critical to reducing carbon emissions. We do Passivhaus projects in New York City throughout, and it's just been an amazing journey, designing Passivhaus. And I actually got into Passivhaus in the most perfunctory way, which was I was worried about mold. That's literally, and I started researching online, say, okay, how do I deal with mold mitigation? And I somehow accidentally got into Passivhaus. And of course, once I learned what Passivhaus was about, I mean, it was way, way, way beyond mold prevention. I mean, that's an important part of it, but we all know that it has so many other benefits. And so, of course, I became an immediate enthusiast in Passivhaus. And then that kind of led into policy support. And then that catapulted me into industry training. And then that catapulted me into teaching youth. So everything had this kind of organic buildup to where it took me today from an architect to an educator. And I have to say that doing both has been so amazing because as an architect, you really understand the nuances and get the details of it all. And then as an educator, you really get to share all that you do in practice with the next generation. And that combination has been truly amazing. And then as an educator, the youth, they really challenge you. I mean, they ask questions that are brilliant and it really makes you say, oh, right, what about that issue? And so they really feed on each other to make both aspects as truly as enriching as it can be. So yeah. I'm really grateful for this kind of dynamic life that I have, the dual life of an educator and an architect.
That's
it's
great.
Been really fun.
Your approach is Passivhaus for all and nobody is young or too young to learn about it. So what's your thought behind that, really going to the very, very young, I mean, preschool kids, right? And teach them about Passivhaus.
Right.
Why do you do that?
So that came about from when I got involved to support policies around energy efficiency, thinking that that was going to really help our society, our communities, our industry in really proliferating Passivhaus practices, as scaling it, right? This implementation of it. And after having done so, I quickly realized, I was really happy, thrilled that I think this is going to really work. And then that experience kind of had a light bulb moment where, it's great that it's in the code now, but in order for people to know how to comply, even with the best of intentions that they want to, they actually can't if they don't know how. And that kind of catapulted me into training industry professionals. And then within that realm, that's when I said, again, if we need to create, scale this impact, right, it needs to go beyond. And then, again, to the point of what are the solutions that we have to address our climate crisis? And maybe perhaps I have a daughter, and I'm going through the experience of raising her, realizing, if the younger generations can know this, instead of trying to train people who are already kind of formed in their ideas and ways and culture, what if we brought this knowledge even younger, where they're so ripe to learn, right? And they're so passionate about trying to address climate change. So how do we give them the tools, literally? I mean, because these are concrete tools. And, you know, we just talked about earlier about how a lot of our youth, they're anxious. And perhaps if they had the tools to really address climate change and have real concrete solutions, and we know Passive House can or is an important part of that solution, that maybe will help them to be able to address the climate change situation that we're in. And as they are the inheritors, you know, how do we help them, you know, be more hopeful and actually be able to do something about it and really take action? So that's kind of what catapulted me into training the youth.
Yeah.
And also, I think that was the, you know, we have truly like so many people, even like yourself, who are so passionate and doing great work for our industry. And, you know, there's a whole nother world. And I thought that could also help our industry to, you know, keep going in supporting society in general, you know, by having early adopters, you know, get them on board sooner rather than later.
Totally agree that it's never too young to teach kids about. And even if they don't fully understand, you know, each principle or the mechanics behind it, I think just putting that seed into their brains early on, I don't think they ever will forget about that. Right. There's some kind of knowledge there that will always stick with them. And even if they don't remember even what they did in your class, there's something that's going to, I'm totally convinced that that's going to stick. And it's, as you said, it's so important. I mean, on one way to already start teaching them because we have to equip them with knowledge, because they are going to be the generation that really has to. I mean, we're starting to, or we have to find solutions now. We have solutions. We have to start implementing them more and more, and just priming them basically to do so, and giving them the knowledge to really go all the way, because our generation is, you know, slow to adopt new things. Right. So for them, it's not new anymore, right? Yeah. So it's just what it is. So
I think you said it so brilliantly. That's exactly, you said it better than I. You explained better than I about why I started younger.
Yeah.
And I've had experience with, and I'm sure you have too, within the industry with fellow AEC industry folks who may not necessarily buy into this idea just yet, and realizing, wow, you know, they're already formed in their ways of thinking about, you know, how buildings should be constructed and designed. And sometimes it's a little bit challenging to convince them to think in these other ways, which what I love about Passive House is, as you know, it's just building science.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to call it Passive House. Yeah. And it's just a great building science for better buildings. Yeah. And, you know, it's just something that everyone can truly.
Yeah. What's interesting, it's not necessarily building science, right? In order, like even bringing the principles across to kids.
Yeah.
I mean, insulation, it's basically, are you going to put on a sweater?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't the house put on a sweater? So it doesn't even have to go into building science.
Not at all.
And I think that's a big difference, that they're still open to just understanding, you know, just general principles. Mm-hmm. While if you start later with practitioners or builders, you know, being stuck in their ways, it's the only way they look at these things is through building.
Right. Yeah. No, it's an excellent point. And in fact, that's the way in which we teach the younger, the younger generations, is creating these metaphors that has nothing to do with building science, even though the principle is based in building science, but having these associations of everyday experiences that they have that explains the building science of it, but without actually getting into the literal explanations. And the thing that's also interesting is that, you know, as you know, we do it through the creative arts. And that also feeds into two things. One is, as you so rightly mentioned, about how I'm not doing this so that everyone could become architects. It's like, in fact, it's just the opposite. It's just so that every person could have this basic knowledge, so that, you know, for some, so they can help themselves, right? I mean, if you wanted to, you need to replace a window. You know, you don't need to hire architects for us to tell you, get better performing windows, right?
Uh-huh.
So these are the kind of things that, you know, everyone could take a little action. Or, you know, if you have a drafty insulation of the windows, right, you can air seal a little bit. And there's always plenty of work for us architects, because we all know that, you know, there's always a need for extra specialization. But for certain basic things, people can do this on their own, and they should, right? That would be, because otherwise we just can't be going to every single house giving these kinds of instructions. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, right? So that's one. And then two, you know, we talked about how it's the next generation that really have to come up with creative solutions. And how do we do that, right? We know that there's so many unknowns, and how do we grow up to be able to face unknowns, have the adaptability, the resiliency, the suppleness, right? To be able to think creatively about solutions that aren't even there yet. And so that's part of kind of the reason why I do it through the creative arts is to they already have these inherent creative abilities. It just needs to kind of come out. And so if we can try to foster the strengthening of their inherent creative abilities to be able to solve problems and have nimble thinking, that's exactly what we hope to accomplish for them. And then secondly, again, you know, how do we teach it in some ways that could be meaningful, could be fun? So it's not something that they have to take an exam on, but they can just basically be familiar with the concepts, right? Just as a lifelong learning experience. And so this is the reason why we do it through these, you know, singing and dancing and model making and drawing and just for having them express it in any way that they find most interesting for that reason, right? So that they can hopefully retain that information.
Yeah, and I think what's so brilliant about it is not only that they retain the information or understand the information better, but they also spread it.
Yes.
Right? So they're basically the catalyst to bring it out because they... Mm-hmm. They are the fish, the babel fish, that translate it into a language that maybe their family or their community can actually understand, you know, without getting bored because they hear energy efficiently. Yeah. They hear their son or daughter or talk about, you know, putting sweaters over a building or doing a rap about air sealing.
That
it was
song
awesome.
Is sung by so many of our students. Like, as soon as I show them that video, they all start singing all the time, air sealing. And it's just so much fun. I mean, it's like a jingle that just stays in your head.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the other thing that I just love about working with youth and having them express things in their own voices, in their own interests.
Yeah.
Because I find that, to your point, one of the things that I love about ways of teaching is to really give them a sense of agency. And the fact that they can impact fellow youth is the most powerful thing, you know, just in itself, but also for that individual. And that, again, gives them, when we talk about, you know, having anxiety, to know that you can actually make a difference.
Yeah.
I think that really helps address this issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, and it's so important that they spread the information because we as parents or, you know, the older generation, we have ideas. We have all this, like, deep understanding in building science and all of this, but that's not necessarily what's super accessible to them at this point. And I was involved in a project where it was, a group of students kind of looking into, I think it was actually living building challenge. And as their final project, all the parents, everyone was invited and they had to present. And the way they presented, it's so different than what I would have expected or ever seen. They came up with like these virtual reality walkthroughs.
Right.
You know, it's the first time I've actually put on a virtual reality glasses, but that's their world, right? And that's how they communicate. And if that's the generation that needs to pick up what, you know, we kind of are leaving behind, that's really important that's the level of communication that they are using.
Exactly. Yeah. That they know themselves best.
Yeah.
You know, how to explore these topics and how to share these topics
in
the way that feels most relevant to them.
Yeah.
In their culture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, they're the best advocates. Once they have the knowledge and they're able to use it to spread it, I mean, you can just fly with that.
Yeah,
They could fly with that.
No, it's amazing. So what are your goals? Like, how do you want to spread this? Because this is so brilliant. More and more students need to learn about it.
Yes, definitely. So part of the reason why we have them, the whole recording happened just totally by accident because of the pandemic. I was working with students, and they were going to do all these live performances at the Passive House Network in New York, and with Ken Levinson, mm-hmm. who was the first person who bought into this idea and said, okay, I'll show it at the conference. And I was just so thankful to him for it. I think without him, none of this would have happened in terms of he really supported this idea. So thank you, Ken. And so, yeah, it was all going to happen in person. And then the pandemic took hold and we had to switch everything to remote. And then all of a sudden, you know, the kids were in their homes and we were trying to figure out, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to present it at this remote conference? And so they started just self-recording. And that literally became this amazing way to not just have it in this one day conference, but really, truly to be able to then share it with the world. And that's kind of how this whole thing developed. It was not my idea at all. I didn't come up with this at, you know, it was literally just the situation itself. And, you know, as you know, during that time, I mean, truly, like, we had to be supple. We had to be creative in our ways to keep going. Mm-hmm. And so I have to say that that experience only heightened the importance of being supple to any situation. Mm-hmm. And it kind of became, you know, it was very much in line to the foundation of what we're trying to teach the youth, you know, how to remain that way in order to be able to solve problems creatively. So anyway, yeah, so that's kind of, so how do we keep going? So, yeah, so, you know, more approaches right now. We have over 150 New York City schools who are inquiring about our workshop. Because we are sustainability partners with the New York City Department of Education Office of Energy and Sustainability, and they've been an amazing advocate for our work to help spread, you know, energy efficiency in New York City public schools. So that's been really great. So with that, you know, we're trying to scale it. We're also looking for partners to do this, and we're trying to also scale it nationally and internationally. And it's been amazing because at this conference, I've had so many people from different countries, Spain, UK, Germany, all saying, how can we help bring this to our country? So that's been just really wonderful to hear, and hopefully we can figure something out. But yeah, I mean, the more we can proliferate this and share this with everyone who's interested in, you know, bringing this knowledge to the youth, this is how we can spread it even farther and wider. I've also began training educators. So just in February and March of this year, we trained 30 New York City public school teachers. We also trained some environmental educators in Massachusetts. So that's, you know, because we realized that after a while, I mean, we're active practicing architects, and this was kind of a side gig that we were just doing out of a, you know, passion project. And then it kind of turned into something way bigger than what we ever expected. I mean, we just did it because we thought it was necessary, but had really no mm-hmm. long-term thinking about what it would turn into. Yeah. But now that it's turned into something of a high demand that we didn't really anticipate, we're really, you know, as we go organically trying to figure out how do we do this. So I think the next step is really trying to forge partnerships. We're also seeking funding because we need to scale it, and we definitely need to build out our capacity to meet the demand for the workshops. So that's some of the ways that we're trying to expand it.
So do you have like a website, or if people are interested, how do they engage?
Yes. So we have a website, you know, passivehouseforeveryone.org, and they could go, and I think there's a section that says, you know, if you're interested, fill out this form or something like that. Uh-huh. So hopefully we can, you know, get more people on board.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, I'll fill it out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I want to be on board. That's awesome.
And if you know anyone, yeah, who wants to, yeah. I mean, one of the things we definitely see, which I know every single nonprofit's looking for, is funding. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely something that we're also simultaneously having to navigate through. You know, as I said, this is new. It's a nonprofit. And definitely there's a lot of growth and learning that happens along the way. So I'm learning as much as the students are learning in this whole process.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing. And every time I see one of the creative works of the students, it's definitely very inspiring. You know, mm-hmm. it makes all the struggles feel like it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, when you showed the videos last night, I mean, you could see the reactions of the audience, just seeing a 5 or 6 year old explain mm-hmm. what she...
Yeah, the high performance window.
Yeah. And, yeah. Or building a model of the...
No thermal bridging.
Yeah. Yeah. That with Legos. That
with
was,
Legos,
that
right?
was awesome too. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, yeah, you just, I mean, you, what I love about, especially, I mean, you know, as you know, we teach K through 12 and post, you know, higher education. But what's so interesting about the younger kids, the students, is that you really see that these ideas are, can be universally understood.
Yeah.
It's not just for our industry experts. And they really show that. I mean, they really show the power of just, you know, knowledge attainment and thinking creatively about them to express, to communicate. And so they're the proof of concept that everyone can learn this.
Yeah.
You know, true proof of concept. And they do it so inspiringly.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for all this work that you've been putting in. And I'm sure it's going to be more and more successful. And I truly believe that educating the youth, and nobody's young enough or are too young to be taught passive house principles, that that's going to be one of the keys to be successful with spreading the word in passive house.
Yeah, thank you so much. And seriously, I mean, I always say that it really takes a community.
Yeah.
And all the work that, you know, in this conference right now, everyone's role is just so critical.
Yeah.
And what we do is one tiny little piece of that pie, but mm-hmm. we need the 360 degree, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
of all the different facets, all playing together simultaneously to make the kind of impact that we need to make. As Diana said, it's been 10 years, you know, where are we going with it? Well, it really takes everyone's effort from all the different angles to truly make the change that we need to.
Yeah.
So thank you
yeah.
for doing your part.
Oh, thank you.
As well, seriously.
yeah.
Absolutely.